I said I hadn't hit record yet. You're lucky. All right, ready? Hello and welcome to the Cult Cast. My name is Airfon Elijah, and I need to start that over. Hello and welcome to the Cult Cast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. That's better. I'm your host, Airfon Elijah. I'm here with my friends and expert Apple analysts, my own personal genie monsters. Leander Caney.
Genie Munster.
I like calling him Genie. I don't know why. Genie, that's probably what his mom calls him, don't you think?
Genie? Yeah.
Genie! And I'm also here with Buster Hine. Buster.
Hello.
You know what I was thinking the other day is I always introduce you as Buster Hine, which is funny to me, but people probably think Hine is actually your last name. And it's not. It's Hine.
No, you're wrong.
Is it Hine?
Well, it's wrong. Okay, it's Hina, but whatever.
Okay, how would you like me to say Hina?
Hina?
Yeah. Like Heineken, you know. Don't even worry about it. Just do whatever you want.
Heine's so great, though. You could turn that into so many jokes.
I know.
Like, get your hands off my Heine. I'm gonna say that the next time I see someone touch you.
Well, okay. I hate to say it, but I thought, you know, it was a nom de plume, Buster Hine. I mean. Well,
what is that even
I
mean?
I don't know these fancy words. Yeah.
A nom de plume. Who am I talking with? John Brownlee?
A nom de guerre, I mean. Sorry.
That makes it better.
You put a nickname?
Can you just tell us in plain layman's terms what you're talking about?
I came from the dentist, so I'm a bit punched.
How many drugs did they give you there?
Well, none, but it was still traumatic enough to scramble my mind.
I pretty much always ask for the gas, even when I'm just making an appointment. Well, hey, before we get going anymore, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, the fine folks at DigiDNA.net, makers of Discade, the iPod, iPhone, and iPad transfer tool for Mac and PC. They actually have a new version coming out here pretty soon. I'm trying to get them on the show to actually tell us a little bit about it. But we're going to talk about their product, Discade 5, a little later in the show. I'm going to tell you how you can get 30% off your order if you want to order it. It's a fantastic tool. You might want to do that. And then also, we give away two licenses pretty much every time they sponsor. We're doing that again today. And we'll tell you how you can win those a little later in the show. So you can get one, a license absolutely free. And hey, also, before we start talking about Apple News and all this other stuff, I want to do some shout-outs. So I've been asking you guys to use hashtag CultCastShout on Twitter, and I got a ton of people asking me for shout-outs, so I can't make it through all of them. I literally just went through the list and picked out whatever caught my eye. So this one goes out to Daniel Clark. He said, "You promised me a shout-out a couple weeks back." He was obviously very upset that I missed that. Sorry, Daniel. There is your shout-out. Thank you for listening. We got Justin Walsh because he's got that Gangnam style. Edwin Torres from Frankfort, Indiana. We've got Daniel. He's at Zarafial, and I recommend that you go check out his Twitter profile pic because his mustache combined with his mullet hairdo is absolutely wonderful. We've got Louie from Down Under. He's at Prospect_SOA. Tom Locke at Tom C. Locke. He's got that rock star hair. We've got Nasser from Saudi Arabia. We have Graham Critcher. He's from the UK. And I believe from maybe the Amsterdam area, Holland area, we have Dilara, FRMN, at Dilara, FRMN. That's not easy to say. She sent me a fantastic pic of Johnny Ive from, I don't know what year it is, probably. It's got to be in the early 90s. Did you guys see what I retweeted earlier?
No.
Oh my gosh. It's like, I didn't even recognize him because he's real chubby and he's wearing like this really bad dress shirt and he's got this goofy smirk on his face. It might be the best picture of Johnny Ive that I've ever seen. And it's fascinating that he came from that to the shaved head, svelte man that he is today.
That's a really great video that they made for the introduction of the 20th anniversary Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's got the full spiky hair on it. And
who did that?
Apple. It was one of Apple's promo videos, right?
Yeah, that's the pic she sent you is from that video where he's talking about whether a computer can be sexy or not. And he's just
gosh, this I'm looking at the pic right now. It is so I have to put this in the chat right now.
We'll dig up the video too and put that on the Twitter.
That would be great.
It's really funny.
So let's talk about some Apple news. I thought we could cover some apps. We got a new YouTube app this week. And we've been waiting for this a while. Actually, I have. Leander, I doubt you have been. But so, as you know, YouTube app got pulled from iOS 6. But they just released a new iPad compatible version, and it has iPhone 5 support. So now it's like full length, and it has AirPlay integration, which is really cool. And it's native for the iPad as well, which they didn't have before. So this is actually really awesome, because do you guys ever listen to like videos and like stream the audio anywhere when you don't want to actually like watch the video? You just want to like hear the audio?
Nope.
Well, my mom's going to be happy about that because she does that all the time. And on a sadder note, The Daily, the world's first iPad-only newspaper, is going bye-bye. I thought this was really interesting. Leander, I'd be interested to hear your perspective on this. So yeah. Newspapers are dying, right? And magazines are having a hard time. And then News Corp released The Daily, which was that like that basically a newspaper for your iPad, and people don't want it. I mean, are newspapers just going away?
No, they had a lot of problems. I mean, one, it was a Murdoch publication. That was a big problem. Mm-hmm. You know, and they've put all these resources into it. It was the same kind of – it was the total iPad bubble, right? You know, Murdoch looks at the iPad. He got a flashy demo from Steve Jobs. Jobs went to New York and pitched, you know, showed him the iPad.
Oh, personally?
Yeah. Oh, he went around all the publishers and you know, obviously Murdoch was dazzled, so they poured a bunch of resources into this. But then it was sort of, you know, it was in a bubble. I mean, it wasn't indexed on the web. It wasn't really accessible from the web. I know they did some – it was kind of accessible, right? You could – how do they do it? They did some really weird way. That you could get stories. Mm-hmm. But it was in a bubble. Like, when was the last – did you ever see a daily story?
You know, no, in fact, I mean, my big thing was it was a paywall, right? So I was like, why would I use this? Like, who wants to pay for news? That's why newspapers aren't selling well.
Right. I know. It was nuts. I mean, how they thought they were going to – you know, because they were looking at the device and they were thinking, you know, they were dazzled by it. Mm-hmm. And thought that they could you know, it would be there. And I think Wired Magazine was sort of making the same pronouncements. And they've done it a lot better, you know, because, of course, they've got the website too. And
right, yeah.
They don't live in that sort of, that you know, behind in their own little fortress. But, you know, I don't think publishing's – I mean, you know, on the other hand, there's a whole bunch of new publications, iPad-specific publications.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of any specifically that are actually really good?
Well, there's the magazine that just launched that – has a lot of Apple bloggers like Marco Arment and Gruber and stuff like that. But that's like a really small team.
Is that a paid app or is it subscription based?
It's you subscribe to the magazine. It comes out every week. There's a couple like the New Yorker. They do a pretty decent job.
Oh yeah, they do a fantastic job.
They also offer everything online as well, like Leander's saying.
And online, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but they do it for free, and then if you want access to it after it's not like hot news, then you pay for it, right?
Well, they I don't think they put everything up. They don't. The New Yorker is, you know, that's a very special publication, you know, yeah. Because they don't have the same challenges that the Daily had. You know, they already had a pretty healthy subscriber base, and you know, if you're a subscriber, you get the iPad app for free, and it's actually, you know, a pretty good way to read the New Yorker. I actually think it's still better in print. I think they've made some mistakes in their iPad app, but. You know, but yeah, they put some content up on the web, enough to get a sort of conversation going and keep it in people's minds, I think. But you know, I think that the problem with all the magazine apps is that they're just sort of like a magazine ported to a digital device.
Yeah.
And they don't take advantage of what the web has to offer, which is like interactivity. And you know, commenting, Facebook, yeah, right. Well, that's true. You know, one of the strange things about the ads, you know, one thing I'm disappointed about with like magazines like The Wired, is the ads suck. They're flat. They're flat. For the most part, they're flat print ads that have just been put into the magazine, and they're absolutely crap. I mean, if they had any kind of interactivity, I would play around with them just for the fun of playing around with an interactive app. Mm-hmm. And they did a couple when they first launched it. I know, I think their first edition, you know, they got all their advertisers to spend a lot of money on doing these interactive apps, ads. But, you know, since then it's sort of died down. I think there's still a couple that are interactive, but they're really disappointing. They really jar because a lot of the rest of the magazine is interactive, but then the ads are flat. They just stick out like sore thumbs.
Yeah, they kind of need to make them so that they're actually appropriate for this new medium and not just, hey, we've scanned our magazine and we're putting it on the iPad.
Yeah, it seems really lazy.
that's the app I'm going to release. It's going to be called Airfon's like magazine app, and all I'm going to do is scan magazines that I like and then just release them, and you can pay me a subscription fee.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you buy that? That's a good
No, I was actually thinking about trying to think of some apps, you know, that magazine, like newspaper apps, like The Guardian. They've got an interesting one. They're putting quite a few resources into it, but I think, mm-hmm. you know, that has a lot of problems too. When you first go into it, it doesn't present your actual stories on the first screen. It does the different sections, you know, world, US, UK, tech, reviews or whatever. And there's like nothing really. They try to get the reader. So you've got to go three clicks in before you get to a story.
Huh.
You know, first you've got to go, oh, I want to read a review. You know, I want to look at the movie reviews or whatever. So you click that section and then you dive down into the content. And it's like, I don't think that's a good way to do content either. It's going to be much like their front page on the web.
Oh, totally. It's got to be in your face.
The story's up. Yeah, so they do some weird mistakes. But, it's kind of, you know who does content really well? What are we talking about? I mean, we are our own success story.
Yeah, Cultivate does content well.
Oh my God, I just remember. I mean, Flipboard, we're doing 10 million page views in Flipboard, more than we do on the web.
Really?
Yeah. We're inside an app, and that doesn't even
include
sites.
You guys are getting the inside scoop here. I didn't even know this.
Oh my God, what an idiot. Yeah, I completely forgot about this. I mean, we're just getting these numbers from Flipboard, and we're going gangbusters there.
Wow.
And that is how to do content. I mean, you know, Flipboard and Zite.
And Pulse.
Pulse, right, exactly. Those other apps, that's how to do an internet magazine.
That's actually a fantastic point, because when I think about how I consume media now, like I do it almost all through Pulse on my iPad. I mean, I have all my sites synced with Pulse, and I go through, I can very easily tell what all the stories are.
Yep.
And then if I want to dive into one of them, it's super easy to do. I can even sync them with other, like content saving apps that I use, like Evernote or Readability or something, or Pocket.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Are we on Pulse?
What? Yeah, of course we are. Yeah.
Okay,
we're on all of those, and we're going gangbusters on all of them.
That's awesome. We should add the Cultcast to those feeds as well.
Yeah, some of them we did try to do that. We had a conversation with those guys, and it was difficult because of pulling up. I mean, you can do a link to a page and then someone can subscribe to it from there, but you can't pull up the podcast directly into their app.
Oh, you can't?
No. So we tried to do, I asked them to do that, and they said, no, you have to link to a page where people can go and then they can subscribe, but they have to subscribe through, you know, the podcasting app.
That's interesting. Because I know that you can do podcasts through Flipboard, because I have some of our listeners have actually told me that that's how they listen to the podcast.
Okay, that's true. Flipboard does support it, but I don't think the others do.
Interesting. Well, we could talk about this at a later date when we're not recording. I don't think our listeners want to hear us be like, how can we get our podcast into more ears? But hey, I want to tell you guys a quick story. Actually, did you want to wrap up another thought, Leander?
Well, just the last thing about that was, you know, I think that the iPad is the way to read. You know, it's the best way to read to a newspaper, a magazine, whatever, you know, what have you.
What about books? Do you think it's the way to read books too?
Well, you know, maybe. I mean, but they make books, you know, it makes books antiquated because they're not connected. And the beauty of this, you know, the way to read here is that it is connected and you can jump from one thing to another. And I think, you know, like our numbers have shown that this is a super important platform, and it's already eclipsed what we're doing on the web, on the desktop.
That's actually really amazing.
By a long way. And so, you know, like all the plans I'm making for next year for the site, it's all, you know, I'm looking primarily at the iPad, not the desktop.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And as a publisher, there are challenges because, you know, we're not getting,
sorry, go ahead.
This is at the moment sort of like, you know, we're not getting
Leander, are you still there?
Yeah, they're massive.
Okay, sorry, you cut out there for just a second.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to talk to you guys about one last app before we move into an amazing story that everyone's going to want to talk about. I'm no longer a fan of Apple Maps. I had the absolute worst experience with it yesterday, and this has actually not been the first time this has happened. And I'm in Seattle, guys. I mean, the city's been around a while. It's not hard to navigate around a major city. So I was trying to find, I was going to Facebook HQ in Seattle last night, and they're in a really old building. Well, not old, but by Seattle standards. So it's been around a while. And Apple Maps was giving me these absolutely zany directions. And you know, like when your GPS app is giving you weird directions, you're like, I'm not really sure if this is right because this seems so strange they would have me go this way. and it's in the middle of traffic, right? So it has me driving around in loops for an hour and a half. An hour and a half. Okay, the story's not over yet.
I thought that was your hometown.
Yeah, this is my hometown, right? And I know the city, and I'm like, this is so strange that it keeps having me go these directions. And as I said, there's traffic too, so it's slow going anyway. So it keeps telling me to take this specific street. And this street that it's telling me to take is like, it's like where buses go to like load and unload people. And I'm not even sure it's legal for me to be on this road. And it keeps telling me to take this road. And I keep avoiding it. And it keeps recalculating and trying to get me back to this road. So finally, I'm like, you know what? I've been driving for an hour and a half. Maybe Apple Maps is right. And I need to take this road. And that's why it keeps, you know, renavigating me. So finally, I give in. I take the road. And I'm driving, and I'm like, boy, it sure looks like this is taking me back onto the freeway. And then it's like, your destination is on the left. I look up past this, you know, 20, 30-foot concrete wall, and sure enough, there's the buildings there on my left. But Apple Maps had no idea that I would have to drive through a 10-foot brick wall to get to it. And it puts me back on a freeway and takes me 5 or 6 miles in the wrong direction, in the middle of traffic. This is just...
heartbreaking.
It's unacceptable. I mean, I think, Leander, you haven't really had any bad experiences with it.
No, I've been using it. I went down to Silicon Valley the other day. It was absolutely fantastic. Got me right there.
So when it works, it's brilliant. When it works, it's great. But when it doesn't work, you will be in the middle of a nightmare because you're like, what do I do? So I'm like going to this appointment, right? And I'm late and I have to call the people like a total idiot and be like, hey, my GPS app doesn't know where you are. Can you give me verbal instructions?
I know, that sounds like the perfect excuse.
It is. It's a great excuse, actually. If you're ever late, you should just blame it on Apple Maps.
Apple Maps. Say no more.
Should have been like, oh, if I had a Facebook phone, this wouldn't have happened. I know.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
So you know what I ended up having to do was load up Google Maps on the web via Safari. And it took me, there was like 3 or 4 turns. It took me right to it. And one of the roads that Apple Maps kept telling me to take, Google Maps was like, you cannot take this road. It's closed. And I was like, thank you for pointing that out, Google Maps. Hmm. So boy, I hope we get a Google Maps sooner rather than later. Because, I mean, there's just nothing you can do. How do you navigate in the middle of a city when you don't have a GPS app or when it stops working?
How long have you lived in Seattle?
Six years.
I mean, I've only lived in Phoenix for 6 years, but somebody could just tell me. I mean, everything's on a grid, though. But where something's at, and I don't really need maps.
Yeah, that's not how it is here. Like, there's a ton of one-way roads in Seattle, so it's like if you don't know how to get to where you're going, it's really easy for you to end up going somewhere you didn't expect.
Most disturbing part of this story is how it took you 90 minutes to figure out something.
Well,
what's your problem?
I was drunk. I had a beer and I was drinking in my car. So I was listening to Dave Matthews Band and I was like, this is great, man. Anyway, hey, let's talk about Ashton Kutcher because, you know, he's got a new film coming out called Jobs, lowercase j. Can anyone tell me why it starts with a lowercase j? First of all, it's lowercase j, capital OBS.
Well, that's how they're going to do the J kind of like an I, you know?
Okay, that's what my friend
lowercase
told me.
I and then, you know, OBS. I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of.
So is that the play they're making there?
I'm guessing.
Well, he wrote all in lowercase like E. Cummings.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he never.
Did he write Steve lowercase J capital OBS? Is that how he did it?
Yeah, but he didn't use capital letters, though. That's what, because it's lowercase J, uppercase OBS.
Oh, yeah, I see.
The coming thing doesn't work there
it's
either.
It's real weird. So this movie is going to be released at the Sundance Film Festival in Utah come January. We've talked a little bit about this in the past. We just saw this picture that they released of Ashton Kutcher doing his best Steve Jobs emulation. Have you guys seen it? Actually, I know, Buster, you have because you wrote the article. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys think of the picture? What do you think of the movie? You excited to see it?
I thought that the picture with like Ashton Kutcher trying to do his best Steve Jobs death stare. But, you know, Ashton's just got too much raw sex appeal. So it kind of looked like he was a cheesy 70s porn star instead. I didn't mind that. I was okay with it.
Leander, have you seen the image?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just an image. My God.
I know, but
I want to see him moving around.
They should have made it into an animated GIF. Oh, yeah. I think my what bugs me about this image is what you said, Buster, is like he looks like a model pretending to be Steve Jobs. And like if you look at the image of Steve Jobs in the same exact pose, they pretty much copied everything about the image and just redid it. Like Steve kind of looks a little unsure of himself. He's kind of got a little pot belly. Like he doesn't look super cool. And Ashton, right. And he's like kind of like only like half looking at the camera, and then Ashton Kutcher's like looking directly into it, trying to give his best Steve Jobs, "I'm gonna kill you" face.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard to, like, if you're gonna do a film about that era, it's gonna be hard to top Pirates of Silicon Valley, which I thought was really entertaining.
You know, I've actually never seen that movie, but everyone that I know that has seen it has said that that movie is gonna be hard to top.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's really good.
I think it's on Netflix Instant right now, too.
So. Oh, check it out. It's fun.
Yeah, so, and Netflix needs to sponsor this show, I'm telling you. They get so many free plugs. I got to send them an invoice. Mm-hmm. Hey, before we move on, I want to talk about Tim Cook, of course, because in this unprecedented, these interviews that he's done recently, we've gotten all sorts of information about upcoming Apple products. And I just think it's fascinating that he even did these interviews. But before we do that, I want to tell you a little bit about DigiDNA, our sponsor. DigiDNA.net is the place where you can go to get DiskAid 5. DiskAid 6 coming soon, as I mentioned earlier in the show. What is DiskAid 5, you ask, Buster?
Hey, what is DiskAid 5?
Well, I'm glad that you asked that, Buster, because I'm going to tell you whether you want to know it or not. DiskAid 5 is a nifty little tool that you can use to do all sorts of amazing things. First and foremost, it lets you access your entire file system on your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod Touch, and you say to yourself, why would I want to do such things, Airfon? Well, I'm glad that you asked that as well. You could download your call logs, you could download all your contacts, you could download your iMessages, you could download voicemails and save those in a safe place if you wanted to. So that's kind of the cool primary feature. But there's all these tertiary features that you can use as well, such as, let's say you're going on a trip, you want to drop a movie onto your iPhone to watch on your trip, but you don't want to sync through iTunes. With DiskAid, you can just drop it right on your phone. And they also have a free app in the App Store called File App that you could use to watch that movie. No iTunes syncing required. Isn't that amazing? You could also use DiskAid to back up your entire iTunes library. So let's say that you had all of your iTunes stuff on your iPhone. You go to your office, you have a PC there, and you don't have any of your music there. Well, because DiskAid works on PC, you can hook up your iPhone to your PC, and with a few clicks, you could download your entire iTunes library and have access to your album art, your metadata, all that stuff that's in your iTunes collections just that easily. And one of the other cool features that you can do with DiskAid, you can use your iPhone as a USB device, like a little storage device. So with any computer that you have DiskAid installed on, you can drag and drop files onto your iPhone, maybe a private movie collection that you have. I knew Lander was going to snicker at that one.
What are you talking about? I have no idea.
I know you're really into private movies, so I thought that you would like that. and then you can access those private movies on any computer. So check it out. Go to digidna.net. Click on the giant DiskAid icon. And, you know, you can download and use a lot of DiskAid's features for free. There's no cost to use it. And then if you like it, you can pay to get some of the more advanced features. And if you do that, use the discount code THECULTCAST at checkout. You'll get 30% off your order. And, hey, you can also win a license, as I mentioned earlier. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. Tell us why you deserve a copy of DiskAid 5. And we will pick some winners, two of them specifically, next week and be announcing those. And two lucky people will win a license.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that. Hey, let's talk about Steve Jobs, y'all.
Which one?
Tim Cook. I meant Tim Cook, y'all. That's me. So Tim Cook, one of my favorite Apple characters. You know what? I just got to say about Tim Cook, I really like him. I really like him. You know, he came into a tough job, wouldn't you say, Leander? I mean, he's taken over for one of the most prolific CEOs in history. And I the more I hear him talk, the more I hear him speak about different subjects, the more I like the guy. He just seems really likable. So he was on, he did an interview with Bloomberg recently, and actually he did an interview with Brian Williams for 30 Rock, which is going to be airing tonight. And 30 Rock is actually one of my favorite news shows. I really like Brian Williams, especially when he's on SNL. And I'm really looking forward to this. Did you guys watch any of the clips?
I saw some of it. Are you sure it's 30 Rock? Isn't that the comedy show?
I'm sorry. Yes, Rock Center.
Yeah, I was like, 30 Rock is the
he's going to be on 30 Rock. 30 Rock with Tracy Williams.
With Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin Williams. I'm like getting everyone confused. So yes, he's going to be on Rock Center, which, by the way, is a play off the name 30 Rock, in case you guys didn't know.
Yeah, they're broadcasting it tonight, right?
Yeah, so they're broadcasting it tonight.
They just put out some clips. And the clip I saw, you know, he was asking about like China and mm-hmm. bringing that. He said that they were going to be manufacturing a Mac product or the Mac line here in the States. And, of course, Brian Williams asked him, well, why don't you bring all the manufacturing here? Mm-hmm. And Cook said, you know, that was impossible. They couldn't do it because a lot of the talent. And I think he was blaming the education industry. I just saw it. I didn't see the whole clip. I just saw it. a write-up of it, and you know, I wasn't sure. I thought he could have done a more convincing job of that, you know. I think it's a lot more complex, isn't it, of bringing this massive manufacturing operation, you know, from one continent to another, and it has a lot to do with price and cost, but also the fact that it's the whole supply chain is set up there, you know.
Right. You can go next door and pick up the glass and then the chips, the, you know, down the street. But I think as far as education goes, he's talking about there's not enough educated people, as far as like you would need like something like 30,000 engineers in this one city to, you know, run the plant in a similar way to the way Foxconn does.
Mm-hmm. And well, they talk about, you know, there's a lot of H-1B visas here, right? There was a big debate just a few years ago about all the people who are getting educated here at Stanford
and then being told they have to go back.
Yeah, and they can't get the visa, and there's this big talent drain. They're all going back to, you know, like a lot of people coming in from Asia, from India, mm-hmm. Engineers. You know, I'm a little bit sort of skeptical about that. You know, I was listening to an interesting NPR report the other day about all the TVs. You know, most of the TVs in this country are assembled in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's expensive to ship items that size from China, so easier to assemble them here on the border. And because of NAFTA, there's no tariffs, so you know it's almost like doing it in the U.S., but you're paying Mexican wages instead of U.S. wages.
Right.
And in fact, that's what I went to a party last night for Fusebox. They make a video conferencing software, mm-hmm. and the CEO there was saying that the party was for Fusebox for the Mac, and it was the first native Mac video conferencing client, they claim, for the Mac. And he said, you know, they didn't do it for the Mac. They did it for the Apple TV, which is coming up. And they did it at Steve Jobs' behest. Steve Jobs persuaded them to make special Mac native software, not the Mac now, but for this upcoming Apple TV.
Interesting.
When Tim Cook was talking about manufacturing some Mac product in the U.S., it made me think about that, you know, the TVs in Mexico. And
that is actually a great point, because I thought maybe it was going to be like the Mac Pro.
Yeah, no, he was saying, you know, like this CEO last night said he didn't have all the details, but he says the Apple TV is going to be a 60-inch device, and it's going to be completely gesture controlled, like the Microsoft Kinect, you know, so you'll wave in front of it, mm-hmm. or you'll control it with your iPad, you know, with multi-touch on your iPad.
That would be awesome.
And it has no inputs whatsoever. You can't plug anything into it. There's only one wire. That's for the plug, the power.
What?
Yeah.
And it's Wait a second. What?
I don't. A lot of
that makes a lot of sense.
Do not believe him at all. As far as he also said, like touchscreen. I don't know. It sounds fishy to me.
Well, he mentioned there might be a touchscreen iMac as well. So you actually touch the screen of the iMac. So there's going to be a big...
we've been talking about that for, I don't even know, three years now since the iPod came out.
Right. Yeah. And of course, they have these on Windows. HP's been trying to sell one for, I don't know, five, 6 years or so. And
well, remember that Lenovo one we played at last year at CES? It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Folds down, and I think that's pretty cool. But
that was the one we played Angry Birds on, right?
Yeah.
After we talked our way into that Lenovo party, they're like, you guys are from where? Cult of Mac. Why do you want to come into our party? They're like, well, how many free drinks do you have left? They were out. They were dry. But playing Angry Birds on those computers was fun. We got some great pictures in their picture booth, too.
Oh, yeah, we did.
So, Leander, so you think that they're going to be building, or this guy said they're going to be building an Apple TV here, or I should say you think they're going to be building it here. Well, that's what I'm but they're not going to have any inputs. How would you, like, no HDMI inputs or anything? Like, how would I plug my Xbox into it? That doesn't make any sense.
BS. Well, you have to be able to plug the you have to be able to plug in your cable box as well.
Well, no, that's what Apple wants you to. This is why Apple wants to do a TV, right? Because they, you know, they want to be the one point of contact for all your content. They don't want to let the cable company in. They don't want to let Microsoft in, you know, to be a conduit. This is why they got rid of Maps on the iPhone, you know, because they don't want Google having one of the most important interfaces on their device. So, you know, leaving off the – that was the one thing that made the total sense to me, you know, like, because this is exactly how Apple operates. I mean, they don't want to build a beautiful TV that does gestures and then plug in some, you know, crappy – cable box, you know, that has a dreadful 60 button remote to control.
Right.
No, well, they, what if you wanted to watch a DVD? How would you do that?
Yeah. You have to stream it over
iTunes. Does it have it integrated? Yeah, is it like
stream it over iTunes?
Oh,
but that's
boy.
The thing is, have to, and that, I don't know, taking away some of that ability that
yeah,
people have.
That is a bold if they do that, that's very bold.
You know, I think they've had this capability, and we've seen snippets of this, you know, for a while, right? We've done some of our own rumor stories. I've had a source who said that he saw the Apple TV and it looks just like the iMac, and you know, it's going to be app based, you know, so someone like HBO could do an HBO app, or maybe there would be, you know, even a Comcast app, right? You could bring over your current Comcast subscription, and if you have HBO as part of that, then it would come through there. But the problem, you know, I think, was the sports franchises, and I think we discussed this in a previous one before. You know, that it's not clear how they're going to get all those that really important content, you know, through some kind of app based system. And the cable companies aren't going to go along with this because, you know, it undercuts the current system, which is working really well for them.
Well, Time Warner said that, like, their CEO said he wants Apple to make a set top box just because they're better at, you know, user interface stuff. So they think they would make it a lot better. Of course, Time Warner is going to want to be able to still charge people as much as they are right now. You know?
Yeah. I wonder whether the cable companies would, you know, and if you just had an app that allowed you to get your Time Warner or your cable, your Comcast or your Cox subscription, you know, through an app as well as getting it through a set-top box. I mean, I guess there's no difference, right, for them. And in fact, it saves them on hardware and hardware support.
Exactly. Yeah. So that would be. I think they'd be fine with that. But
right.
I can't get over, like, oh, there wouldn't be any HDMI ports. You would also have to have a port in the back for cable, you know, input, as well as for digital audio, but, lots of different things.
That's also the worst part of the whole, you know, the whole experience, though, right? You have to switch inputs to bring, you know, to bring up your Xbox, and then you got to switch to another input to look at a DVD.
Yeah, but that's like saying these things that you're trying to do are bad experiences, so we're just not going to let you do them on our TV. So it's like, so can my Xbox work on my new Apple TV, Tim? No,
but you can't.
Like, what? It's like, what am I going to use my Xbox on?
Well, you don't. You play Angry Birds on your iPad.
We have an app store with over 1 million games, y'all. Just play those instead.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm getting Modern Warfare 4 on my iPad next year.
Yeah, right. That's why, I mean, everything that you said sounds great, except for the lack of inputs. That just makes zero sense to me. I mean, there has to be some type of compatibility with the devices that people already own. I mean, I can understand them not putting a DVD player in there, and they can say, okay, you know, rent stuff from the iTunes, and you're like, okay, well, they're trying to push iTunes, that makes sense. But there is nothing to replace Xbox. There is nothing to replace PlayStation. It's like Apple doesn't have an answer to that.
They're dinosaurs. Are you going to buy another Xbox? Are you really serious?
Yes, dude. Are you kidding me? I cannot wait for the new
guys
Xbox
are dinosaurs.
To come out.
No, it's not. No. It's a different experience than anything you can get on an iPad.
Oh, by far. Yeah. Yeah.
Mashing buttons.
Leander, the new Call of Duty game, Black Ops 2, I think in like the first week it came out, I think sold like over $600 million in games.
That's
like one of the, it's bigger than any movie. It's like it's a gigantic franchise. That's just that one game.
It's already made, I think, $1 billion.
My kids wanted it. I said no.
Well, you're a bad dad, but that's a topic of a different
show. I said maybe for Christmas, you know, which is the next best thing.
Oh, man. Well, don't get them Black Ops 2, because as somebody who plays it regularly, it's just going to make them angry people.
Oh, yeah, right? Turn them into little shooters.
Oh, yeah. And I could talk about all the problems that game is having. But in any case, so a few other things that Our pal Tim said, I thought this was really interesting. He said 80% of our revenues are from products that didn't exist 60 days ago. That's astounding. I mean, I guess that must mean they're making all their money right now from the iPad mini, the iPad 4, and then
iPhone 5.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they're definitely going gangbusters. There's a lot of complaining, wasn't there? All that bitching about the iPhone 5, how it was boring.
Yeah,
well, people do that every year.
That's status quo. Yeah,
this was, but this seemed even worse because they're all saying, "Oh my god, this is something that, you know, if Steve Jobs was around, it never would be so boring."
But which is so funny because do you think that Steve Jobs didn't know all about the iPhone 5 before he passed away? I mean, think how far out Apple's working on the roadmaps for their products.
If you think Steve Jobs wouldn't release a boring phone, just look at the iPhone 3GS. I mean, that was just as boring. The iPhone 4S was just as boring as the iPhone 4. You know, I mean,
they weren't boring, were they? They were vast improvements on the first model. They were like, you know, Mark II.
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, you can't say that Steve Jobs wouldn't have done this because he did do that. You know?
Yeah. Right. And they're on 2-year upgrade cycles, and I think once if you look at the iMac, I mean the iMac hasn't basically changed since when is it 2005,
right?
You know, once they hit upon the flat screen form factor, you know, with the pedestal, this is the way that the company does it, has done it for years. It's always been hit upon something that works and then improve it.
Yeah.
Let me read you guys this other thing that Tim said. I thought this was really interesting. Well, not interesting, but it's just a great statement. When asked about Apple's profitability, he said, you know, we really want to enrich people's lives. And at the end of the day, not to just make money. Making money might be a byproduct, but it's not our North Star. And I was just like, gosh, you know, to come from a CEO like Steve, who was such an eloquent speaker, I always thought that Steve explained things in a way that made a lot of sense to me. And I was like, there's no way that Tim's going to be anything like that, you know, especially because I feel like when he first took over as CEO, he didn't really talk a lot. And I find him to be a very eloquent speaker. And when he says things, I really want to listen to him. Are you guys as beguiled by him as I am?
I think what
I'm saying is that I want to be at his next Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, okay. You just want to have.
Yes, and sit in his lap.
I've been charmed by Tim Cook, I want to sit in his lap. Do you think if I ever met him, he would let me do that?
Probably. Nope. As long as you like play with his hair.
Well, he does have a killer head of hair.
I can't say I'm beguiled.
No,
at all. Anywhere not, near. He doesn't
yeah,
have.
But who beguiles you, Leander? The Queen. That's it.
Oh God, I hate that old bag. No. Jobs used to, I found, really, you know, he was really mesmeric. He had a great.
He did, yeah.
He had really, he had huge charisma.
He did.
And I don't think Cook has that at all. I mean, I find him kind of dull.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know who I think is really dreamy? Eddie Q. He's just a big teddy bear. I want to be friends with him too. Well, hey, the broadcast airs tonight. I don't know what time it's on. I think it's like 8 p.m.
Well, it would be last night by the time people hear this. Most people hear this, right? So it would have been.
Oh, yeah. So if you're listening to this on Friday, I guess a lot of our U.S. listeners listen to it on Friday, then you should download it off the internet in a legal fashion.
What?
Yeah.
No, like totally.
Yeah, can't you just watch it on their website?
Oh, actually, I don't know. Do they release these on their website? I don't know if they do.
Most of it you can. Or YouTube. Someone, you know, it's going to be on YouTube for sure.
Yeah. Oh,
interesting.
It will be on the internet.
Oh, and hey, one last thing before we wrap it up, guys. Did you guys see Alex's tips on iTunes, the new iTunes 11 on Cult of Mac?
I gave him like 20 of those.
Did you really? So basically you're saying you wrote it.
Pretty much. Alex always steals my articles.
Well, if you've downloaded the new iTunes 11, Alex Heath just put out a great piece on all the tips and tricks for using it, things that are new, little keyboard shortcuts. So I definitely recommend that you check that out. You can learn all the new cool things that you could do with iTunes. Who's making DJ noises with records? Is that you, Buster?
I don't know, maybe.
Cool. Well, before this show gets any noisier or staticier, we're going to wrap it up. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. Hey, you know, you can follow us on our Facebook page. Head over to facebook.com/TheCultCast. Let us know why you deserve a copy of Disc Aid. And we'll be picking some winners next week. And also on Twitter, Buster's BST3R, Lander is L Caney. I'm at Airfun. And of course, you can follow Cult of Mac. They're just Cult of Mac on Twitter for all the best news, reviews, and how to's. And also, Lander's got some great pictures on his new Instagram feed. Lander, what's your Instagram username?
L Caney.
You're going to see pictures of socks with holes in them, dogs that look angry, stuff that you just can't find anywhere else on the internet. I want to thank DigiDNA for sponsoring the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We will catch you guys next time. Cool.
I had a question.
Yeah. Hey, Buster, how long is your beard right now?
I shaved like a week or two ago, so it's, you know, it's like...
Only 3 feet.
It's short now. It's only 3 feet.
It's like one of the f***ing dwarves from...
So are we all growing mustaches, Lander? I want to see you with a mustache. No. Come on.
No, I don't do that kind of Movember.
Movember's over.
When I see it, I just want to rip those things from people's faces. I mean, I cannot stand hipster mustaches.
But think how cool it would be when all the Cult of Mac crew's in the same room and we all have a mustache.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I think it would be incredibly embarrassing.
All right,
yeah.
Well, I think the rest of us are going to do it. Have you seen John's? He looks like Yosemite Sam.
Oh, God, really?
Oh, yeah, his is terrible.
It's terrible. It's really long. I mean, that guy can grow a mustache. I think he's rubbing Miracle-Gro in it.
I saw he posted a picture, and I just really didn't want to look at it.
Yeah, which is surprising because John doesn't look like he grows facial hair, but
no, he doesn't.
Yeah, he looks like a little castrato.
I don't even know what that word means, but I thought it was funny.
Yeah, well, you can imagine what it means.
I'm imagining it.
That's what they used to do to choir boys in medieval times.
Okay, that's
keep their,
that's
keep their voices forever sweet.